The following story is by Rabbi Pesach Krohn.
Do you know that there was a young woman, a Nebach, her husband was very sick, and he needed an operation. And the doctor said, listen, I'm afraid to make the operation. He could die on the table. When we give him the anesthetic, it might be too strong, he could die. You got to go to a bigger authority than me to get permission that I should do the surgery. So she was thinking, Oyvey, who's the biggest authority? So she decided, you know what? The biggest authority is Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, the Gadol HaDor. Now, that's not what the doctor meant. He meant another doctor in a, you know, some university hospital or some teaching hospital. But her husband had learned in Tres Yerushalayim 20 years ago. Now he was in his 40s. When he was in his 20s, he learned in Tres Yerushalayim. So the next day, the doctor calls her and he says, did you get an authority that you're going to go to? She said, yeah, tomorrow morning I'm going. Oh, he said, oh, which doctor is it? Where's his office? He said, well, it's not a doctor, it's a rabbi. He said, you're joking, right? A rabbi is going to tell me whether I should do a surgery? What are you talking about? She said, you said the biggest authority. He's the biggest authority. He says, I got to see this. Do you mind if I come with you? She said, no, I'm going with my father tomorrow. I'll meet you at FDR Drive where the rabbi lives, and we'll go in there together. The next morning, the doctor, the father of the woman, and the woman, they all come into Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Moshe greets them. And, you know, this was the first time this doctor saw Rabbi Moshe, beautiful-looking person, a hadras ponim, Gadol HaDor. And Rabbi Moshe asked the doctor so many questions about the illness, and he gives him tremendous derech eretz. And finally, Rabbi Moshe says to the woman, you told me that your husband used to learn in Tveres Yerushalayim. When did he learn it? I'm trying to picture him. I'm trying to remember him. By any chance, do you have a picture of him? She says, yeah, Rashiva, I do have. I have Al Hassan a picture. And that's when he was learning in the Kaila by you at that time. For a short time, he learned in Tveres Yerushalayim. He said, let me see the picture. Rav Moshe takes a look at the picture, and suddenly he recognizes that boy. He didn't recognize him by the name, but when he saw him, he remembered that kid. And he starts crying. He starts crying because the guy is so sick. He's got three kids at home. And the doctor's afraid to make the operation. And the doctor is sitting there. He can't believe it. He turns to the lady and he says, I never saw anything like this. That a rabbi should cry because a former student of his is ill? Now I understand why God is going to give him the right decision. And listen to this, what Rav Moshe said. Rav Moshe said he should do the operation on one condition, that he should make up his mind that from now on, every time he says a bracha, he should say it out loud. So somebody should say amen. He should tell other people to say brachas out loud, so he should say amen. Why? Listen to this. You wouldn't believe that Rav Moshe said this. He said, amen is equal how much? Who can figure it out? Amen. 91, right. The word malach, which is an angel, also equals 91. Rav Moshe said, every time you say amen on a bracha, you create a malach. And every time somebody else says a bracha and you say amen, you also create a malach. And those malachim are going to protect him. So therefore, that's why I say that he should make a kabbalah. That from now on, he's going to say brachas out loud. He'll have other people say brachas out loud. He'll say amen. All these malachim will be able to be created, and they'll protect him. And they had the operation, and he lived another 6 years.
The following stories are by Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro.
I want to end with two maises about Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha. And I know that my father's atzal would say, one maisa is because of the other. Many decades ago, there was a question in Eretz Yisrael about the law of a particular get and the laws of gittin. And the three Gedalei Hadar, Paiske Hadar, were deliberating the shayla in a room. Reb Shlomo Zalman, Reb Elyashiv, and our Gadol Hadar today, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And as I heard the story, they were deliberating the shayla for 2 hours. I want to make it clear, people have heard this, know my next line I want to say. Please understand what it means when the three Gedalei Hadar were talking and learning for 2 hours. It's not like me turning to you and saying, did you see the Taisus in Baba Kama? And you saying, no, but there's a Ran in the Darim. When they, that's the way the Gedalei Hadar were learning. You and I couldn't do it in 1,000 light years. And after 2 such hours, they didn't have an answer. So they said, bring a phone. We need to call America. And that meant call Reb Moshe. Somebody brought in the phone and they dialed. The way I heard the Maisa was that they presented a Shaila to Reb Moshe that they had been deliberating on for 2 hours. And as soon as they finished the Shaila, Al HaMakom, on the spot, Reb Moshe gave them the answer. When they hung up the phone, the way I heard the Maisa, the three Gedali Hadar got up and started to dance and sing to the words, Moshe Emes, Visayrosai Emes. That's a Maisa. Now let me tell you another Maisa. As well, a number of decades ago, somebody was returning to the proper ways of Torah, became a Baal Tshuva, and he wanted nothing more than to be heard about Reb Moshe. He wanted a bracha from Reb Moshe in person. So someone told him, tomorrow night in this hall in Brooklyn, there's a wedding. Reb Moshe will be there. Now, the fellow didn't know what the Gadol Hadar looked like. Today, if you want to see the picture of somebody, for better or for worse, you could get it in a nanosecond. But then you didn't have that ability 50 years ago. He didn't know what Reb Moshe looked like. He went to the Chasna Hall the next night, a Baal Tshuva all of one day, excited to meet the Gadol Hador, and he's waiting and waiting, and he doesn't see the person that should be Reb Moshe. But he does notice off to the side an elderly man who just seems to be standing there learning by himself. Maybe he felt badly for the person, so he went over to that elderly man and he handed him a dollar. And Reb Moshe, without missing a beat, kept his hand extended and went to all of the men by each of the tables at the chasana with his hand extended, continuing to collect money so that that person, who obviously didn't realize who he was and mistook him for somebody raising funds and collecting, he kept his hand outstretched like I am now, went to each of the men by the men's tables, and continued collecting money. That's also a Maisa. And I assure you, my father, Zatzal, would say that stories like the first happen because of stories like the second.
Years and decades ago, Sambokrum decided to make prank phone calls. And the pranks were going to be to different Paiskim, different Gedolim, and fabricate silly halacha questions. One of these boys, it was his turn to call Reb Moshe. It pains me to even say this part of the story. But fasten your seatbelt and listen to the rest. He had to call Reb Moshe. He called about 11 o'clock. Reb Moshe had already gone in. The Rebbetzin said, should I wake the Rosh Hashiva? And the boy who was going to play the prank said yes. Reb Moshe came to the phone and said hello. He said, excuse me, I have to wash my hands, netilas yadayim, and make brachas. He then asks Reb Moshe his silly prank shaila. Reb Moshe picked up right away that it's a joke. And so he says to this bachur, where do you learn? The bachur, fearing that he would be in trouble, didn't want to answer. Maybe something's going to happen to me. Reb Moshe reassured him, nothing will happen, don't worry. Where do you learn? He tells him. What gemara are you learning? He tells him. What daf are you on? He tells him. He says, let me ask you a kasha on Tosfos. He asks it to the boy on that page. Asking that kasha on Tosfos to the boy, of course the boy didn't know. You want to know Vaharivna? I'll tell you Vaharivna. Reb Moshe says, let's learn the Gemara. Of course, Reb Moshe, without taking the Gemara, word for word, Gemara and Rashi. Did you get it? Let's do it again. Any better? Let's do it again. I don't know if Reb Moshe taught him word for word three times or four times Gemara, Rashi, every single word. Now let's do Tosfos. And he taught him Tosfos. After he instilled in the Bachur Vaharivna, look how sweet it is. He then said, now let me ask you the kasha again. And he asked it to the boy, and the boy said, you know, it's a good kasha. That's an unbelievable question. Reb Moshe says, here's what I want you to do. Tomorrow, I want you to go to yeshiva, and when you learn this sugya in Tosfos, I want you to ask your Rebbe this kasha. The next morning, he's in class, and he asks the kasha. And the Rebbe says, that's an unbelievable kasha. Where'd you get it from? He says, from Reb Moshe Feinstein. The Rebbe says, I need to think about it. At the end of the week, after thinking about it for those few days, he comes back and he gives the boy an answer. The boy says, I was so empowered by the sweetness of Torah. I was so empowered by the patience and loving guidance of Reb Moshe that Reb Moshe had the chokhmah. A thousand psychologists might not think of it. Empower the boy with a question so that the boy can go in, and now all of a sudden, he says to himself, my Rebbe thought about my kasha for almost a week. I mamish had the power of that kasha. The boy turned his life around. And yes, I will tell you, and it's 100% accurate. Maisa shahoya kachoya. The boy today is no boy. He's a choshev magid shir in a very prestigious yeshiva gedayla in the tri-state area. A prestigious yeshiva in the tri-state area, a choshev magid shir. You know why? Because v'harevna. He tasted the sweetness, and he tasted the patience and the guidance of Reb Moshe, and it turned his life around.
The following stories are by Reb Ben-Zion Klatsko.
There's a very famous story with Reb Moshe. And the story with Reb Moshe involves an aguna. A very famous story. It was the end of the war, and a lady came into Reb Moshe Feinstein, and the lady said that she was crying. What was she crying about? She said, after the war, she thought her husband had passed away. They didn't have clear proof that he did. So they ended up going to a certain gadol. And that gadol, I don't remember which gadol it was, but that gadol said that she can remarry. So she remarried, and she's married, she's happy. And then one day she gets a knock on the door. Who's at the door? Her first husband. He did not pass away. And now she's crying. I don't know if the kids were mamzerim, but she was definitely an Ashes Ish, and she's married to this person and that. It was a balagan. It was a tragedy. And she's crying in front of Ramesha. And she says, what should I do? And Ramesha looks at her, and you know what Ramesha says? I didn't understand the story. Can you say it again? Say it again? Yeah, say it again. She says, okay. I was in the war, and someone said he was seen in a gas chamber, and they said, well, go in. And we went to this gadol, and this gadol said, we can remarry. So I remarried, and now my husband showed up. What should I do? She's crying. Reb Moshe says, I'm not getting it. Can you say it again? And at this point, the Talmidim of Reb Moshe were standing around, and they're like, what are you torturing this girl, this lady? And she says it a third time, and then as she's saying it a third time, she gets up to the part of the story. She says, I went to that gadol. No, I didn't. I didn't. I just assumed that my husband was nifter. I thought it was the right thing. And Reb Moshe says, listen, you're an Ashishish. What you did was wrong. And all the Talmidim were there, and they were in his spot. Reb Moshe, how did you know? How did you know that she didn't go to the gadol? He says, because I know that gadol had taken upon themselves the oil of the tzibur. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never allow a person who takes the oil of the tzibur to give up sach that would end up in an Eishes Ish. He would never do that. Because when you take the oil of the tzibur on your shoulders, when you say, you know what, the buck stops with me. I may not be the smartest, I may not be the greatest, but Klal Yisrael's turning to me. I have to give an answer. And sometimes I'm the only one who could give the answer. When a person is mekabel the oil of the tzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makbid that this person should be saved and he should give a good psak. Our heroes were a Moshe Feinstein. That's a hero. And you know why he's a hero? Not because he learned Shas 400 times. You know why he was a hero? Because of how he treated his wife. Because of how he treated his students. You know a story that I tell my children? Famous story with Reb Moshe? It's a heroic story. He was picked up by one of his students. One of his students came to pick him up. And each day, another student would pick him up. And it was an honor to pick up the great Reb Moshe. And one student, he was new to the yeshiva, he came to pick him up and he was so excited. And Reb Moshe sat down in a seat in the car. And he was going to drive Reb Moshe 10 blocks to the yeshiva. And he was so excited, he slammed the door without realizing he had slammed it on all of Ramosha's fingers. So Ramosha's fingers are sticking out the door. But Ramesha knew that if he would yell and scream, how embarrassed would this yeshiva student be? Wow, I just slammed Ramesha's fingers. So Ramesha did not utter a peep. He did not scream. He did not show any pain at all. And the student is happily asking questions about Gemara, and he's asking questions about Halacha, and Ramesha with his fingers wiggling out the door is just answering his questions. And the only reason that we even know this story, that Bachar never would have found out. But Ramesha, after he left the car and he went into his office and closed the door, did he allow himself the luxury of a scream? And somebody heard it and they came in and they saw Ramesha's mangled fingers. That's who our heroes are. Our heroes are people who act with dignity and honor and grace and kindness. It's that same Ramesha who is the only one to find out when he would go to a banquet the phone number of the cook so that he can call up that cook the next day and say, "Hi, this is Moshe Feinstein. I just want to tell you, you made a delicious meal and I enjoyed it."
The following story is by Rav Noach Isaac Olbaum.
He, by the name of Avram Aaron Greengrass, he said the name of his father. His father's name was Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim Greengrass. That he studied in Tiferes Yerushalayim for about 40 years. He was a chavrusa with the Mashgiach, Reb Michal Birnbaum. So it turns out that, of course, Reb Moshe was in the yeshiva. And you'd be able throughout the years see many interesting things that took place in the yeshiva. One of the things was, there was once at Din Torah, Reb Moshe's office, apparently. Din Torah Reb Moshe, and Moshe paskened whenever he paskened. After the psak of Reb Moshe receives a telephone call, and the person on the other end of the line says, "I am Rav so-and-so." He mentions his name. "And I want to mention that regarding the Din Torah that Rosh Yeshiva paskened, you paskened against the Gemara Mufreshes. The psak is not a psak." Reb Moshe wanted to ask him, "Which Gemara Mufreshes, which Beferish Gemara did I paskin against?" Lamaite, the person hung up. He's not able to find out. After a few months, this same Rav comes to Reb Moshe with a new sefer, and he wants a haskoma from Reb Moshe. He wants a haskoma from Reb Moshe. And, in fact, Reb Moshe gave him quite a choshev haskoma. Not only gave him a haskoma, he gave him quite a choshev haskoma. And when the Rav is ready to leave, Reb Moshe asked him, "Please tell me, which is the Gemara Mufreshes that you mentioned that I forgot? Please tell me the Gemara Mufreshes." The Rav looks at Reb Moshe and says, "I have no idea what Rosh Yeshiva is talking about. I never made a phone call to the Rosh Yeshiva about anything regarding this situation." It turns out that there was somebody else, an imposter, that called Reb Moshe using the name of this Rav. But it was not that Rav. So the Rav said, "I don't know which Gemara Mufresh is." But he asked Reb Moshe, "But being who you found out that this is not the person of the telephone call, you thought all along that this is the Rav who made that telephone call, that you forgot a Gemara Mufresh is. How'd you give him Askoma?" So Reb Moshe said, "It doesn't make a difference." The night after, Kalayin Krishma, I was Meichelim. Mamele says, "I had no ill feelings against him anyway. So even if it would have been him, so I was Meichelim and I gave him the Askoma." But Avada Nevada, it turned out that this was Takenat. The Rav Taken never said such a thing. And was somebody Poshet who wanted to be Mitzar Reb Moshe. Apparently he had some Shaykh to this Din Torah. He stood to lose by this Din Torah. And he wanted to be Mitzar Reb Moshe. But it was not that Rav. He used the Rav. It's a double Ta'avala, another Avala. They used the name of that Rav. At the end, Reb Moshe found out. Imagine if this Rav would have not come for Askoma, Reb Moshe all his life would have thought that this Rav made the phone call. But it turned out with Sati Dishmaya that the truth came out.
The following stories are by Rav Dovi Ben Shushan.
Oh, right after World War II, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, murdering 6 million plus Jews. There were many orphans in Am Yisrael. A lot of these orphans came to American shores, and many of them ended up studying in the yeshiva of Reb Moshe Feinstein Zatzal on the Lower East Side. And there in the yeshiva, they made a collection run by the president of the shul to be able to buy clothes for these orphans of the war, of World War II. And sure enough, in order to raise the money, they made a big, beautiful dinner. And they invited everybody from the community to come to the dinner. And there they raised the money for the clothes that they bought for these orphans. The president stands up on his speech and he says to the benefactors that donated money for the clothing of these orphans, I would like to ask all these orphan boys that are sitting here tonight in the crowd to stand up and give respect to the few wealthy men that gave money to pay for their clothes. Just then, on the drop of a dime, Reb Moshe himself stood up. When the crowd saw that the Gadol, the Rosh HaYeshiva, got up, what happens? The whole room stood up. Like this, nobody knew who was an orphan, who wasn't. That's the greatness of a Gadol. On a split second of thought, how he was on guard every moment of his life, looking out for the feelings of another person. That was priority one to him. It was a, you know, they say over that when he was already fairly sick, with only a year or two left to his life, he was given strict orders by the doctor that the stress that he has from dealing with the problems of Am Yisrael can no longer be allowed to be brought to his door. And the doctor told his wife, the Rebbetzin, you have to lock your doors. You have to shut off your telephone. When people have problems, tell them to go to a different rabbi. Reb Moshe is not healthy, physically fit to carry people's problems anymore. Tell them to go elsewhere. The Rebbetzin said to the doctor, you obviously don't know my husband. However, she tried. And one night, she was going out to a wedding. And Reb Moshe was staying at home. And she said to her husband, my husband, my dear husband, listen, I'm going out to a wedding. I know you're going to be home alone. However, I want you to give me your word that if the phone rings, I don't care who is on the other side, you are not to answer the phone. Remember what the doctor told you? Remember you're not allowed to take on the problems of people anymore? I don't care who is on the other side of the phone, no matter how many times it rings. Give me your word that you're not going to answer the phone. And Moshe said to my wife, I can't do that. I can't. What happens if it's an almana that needs someone to talk to? What happens if it's an ani that needs just a few dollars for a meal? What happens if it's a bachur that's having a hard time in learning and he's going to fall out of the yeshiva? I can't just not answer the phone. There might be a Jew on the other side that needs help. She said, okay, I'm not going to the wedding. The Moshe says, no. I would not, chas v'shalom, hold you back from going to a simcha. She says, the only way I'm going is if you tell me you're not going to answer. Okay, fine. Go to the wedding, I want it. Well, she goes to the wedding. The Moshe sits down to his gemara, as he did moment after moment of his entire life. And he learned. And he was learning Torah. And sure enough, the phone rang. And Reb Moshe stopped. And he gripped the sides of his stender. And he said, oh no. There's a Jew on the other side of that phone calling me. He needs help. How could I sit here and not go and answer the phone? The phone rang and rang. And Reb Moshe said, but I told my wife I'm not going to. He held himself to the stender. Like cement, he didn't move. And then the phone stopped. He said, oh, gosh. He continued learning. 5 minutes later, the phone rings again. Reb Moshe says, Shema Yisrael Hashem, this is killing me. I'm sure there's an almana at the other side of that phone. I'm sure there's a Jew in trouble calling me. How can I justify my existence sitting here learning when someone is crying, waiting for help? The phone rang and rang, and he was so nice, but I said, I'm not going to answer the phone. It stopped. 5 minutes later, the phone rings again. And Moshe says, that's it! I can't! I cannot do it! He picks himself up out of the seat, and he runs quickly as he can over to the phone. And he picks up the phone, and he says, hello? And on the other side, he hears, I told you not to pick up the phone! You promised me you're not going to pick up the phone. I knew you couldn't hold out. I knew you couldn't hold out. I knew your love for another trip. I knew how much you care about the feelings and the hardships of what another Jew is going through. I know there's no way that you can sit through that phone ringing too many times. That's a gadol.
The following story is by Rav Moshe Meir Weiss.
I came to the yeshiva of Staten Island in 1969. I had just gotten bar mitzvah. And in the Beis Medrash comes in this little man who I knew to be the gadol hador. And I felt such a magnetism that I got to be Mishamish Rav Moshe for 10 years. I remember one summer day, Rav Moshe had back pains, bad back pains. So there was an old doctor, I think his name was Dr. Appelgrad, he's not alive anymore. There's an old doctor that they called over to see Rishim, and he examined him very carefully. And he said he doesn't see anything wrong, except that the Rishim has a mosquito bite on his back. So Rav Moshe said that's what it is. He hasn't had a mosquito bite in 70 years. Now, if you knew what Camp Westmount was like, you would know it's impossible to go there 70 minutes without a mosquito bite. But he was there for decades. He never had a mosquito bite. And then he surmised, why did he get the mosquito bite? Because many years before, when he was in Cheder, and the Rebbe asked a question, so somebody gave an answer. And then he gave an answer which the Rebbe felt was a better answer. And Rav Moshe said he felt good, and maybe that's miskabein b'kloin chaveira. He felt good at somebody else's course. So 70 years later, he's getting a mosquito bite for that which he did all those years before. That means he couldn't find anything else in the middle. Rav Moshe taught us to be warm to people, to care about them. This man whose head was in on every different Maimer Chazal, he had analyzed and explained it in different ways, explaining different ways how to look at everything. His head was full of Torah and full of, and yet, when he saw the guy in the yeshiva in broken English, he thanked the guy for keeping his yeshiva clean. He made a special trip down 2 flights on Shavuos to go into the kitchen to thank Mr. Yeager, the cook, for the homemade Polish, the homemade blintzes that he made, and told them, you should know your delicious blintzes caused the boys to learn so good to Shavuos. He was busy writing tshuvas about heart transplants for all over the world, but that didn't stop him for translating a letter in Russian for a neighbor on the east side, or calming somebody, a mentally disturbed person, because he thought he saw flying saucers. And he had all the time in the world for it. You saw by Rav Moshe Torah greatness, but there are Eretz Kodma L'Torah. You saw warmth, sensitivity, caring. We had fahers from Rav Moshe. Imagine what it would be like to be fahered from Rav Moshe. But Rav Moshe never asked a bacher straight the question. Never risk embarrassing a bacher. So Rav Moshe asked the questions, and the bachim that knew their answers raised their hands. It's important to understand the idea of the tzidkis of a gadol hador.